Okay, so b'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to begin tonight's shiur. Because many of the chevra that were coming in person are no longer here, it's been azmanim, chevra are back for the summer. So now I'm primarily focused, not just primarily, but completely focused to the chevra that are online, primarily on the Zoom, to those on Facebook who are joining as well. And so I'm going to share the screen. Ordinarily we'd have handouts and the chevra would be learning with the actual sources inside, but now we're going to share the screen so we can see the sources together. And Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to jump into the material that we have for tonight. Okay, some really incredible teachings we're going to be learning together. Just going to admit. Alrighty, so let's jump into it. I hope everybody's having a wonderful week, as wonderful as it can be in the 9 days leading up to what Be'ezer Hashem will be a very exciting and wonderful and lichtige Tisha B'Av. But even so, to be able to find a little bit of joy within the pain and enjoy a little bit of Be'ezer Hashem, you know, it's always interesting how those things overlap. So it's a juggle of emotions, obviously. Alrighty, so let's begin. And if I could ask everybody to mute just so we have quiet. Okay. So if you remember last week, we were learning Sicha Saran Chaf Gimel. We began with the first part of it. I'm not going to read that part again because we really delved into it at great length. And we looked at the concept of what Levushim are, what it means. That there are people, Rabbi Nachman described in Olam Haba, who ultimately don't have what to garb themselves with. And they're without clothing, or they're without food, and without drink. And over there, Rabbi Nachman said that at that stage and at that point, there's nobody who can help them. The Rebbe said that this world is filled with rachmanis. This world is filled with this, that a person is missing something. There are always going to be those that are going to help them. But the next world, unfortunately, hayom la'asosam, it's today. It's now that we're able to earn our reward, but really prepare ourselves. Like we talked about that mashal of the 3D glasses, a person goes into an IMAX, right? And he has those, you know, those tools to be able to allow them to experience the full experience of this thing called the IMAX. And it's the same thing, la'asid level, la'abdim in elef alfi avdalis, we have no conception of what that's going to be. But a person needs to prepare that now. And so the Rebbe said that ultimately when a person gets to that place, if they did not do the requisite preparing, a person's going to be left with nothing. But then the tzaddik said that if a person has a skashrus, has a connection to a tzaddik, and a person has that image, and has that role model, spiritually speaking, has that idealized vision of what it is to be a human being, an Adam HaShalim, in as much as that person wasn't able to reach that level, but a person at least was makir, a person understood, a person had a vision dancing in front of their eyes all the time of what life could be achieved when a person lives properly. So Mamela Rabbi Nachman said at that point he'll be able to run to the tzaddik and get something. We don't know exactly what kind, on what level. We learned from the Ramchal, we learned from other tzaddikim kadmonim that talk about this idea long before the Hasidic masters really ran with it. But we find already from Rav Chaim Vital, we find from the kadmonim, from earlier tzaddikim, that there was this idea that a tzaddik is able to be megan. There are lashonis in Chazal, nigla, but certainly in Nister, about this power of the tzaddik. The tzaddik can go through Gehenna on their way up, and they're able to pull out those that are sunk into the depth. But ultimately, the tzaddik is able to, like we learned from Chaim Aran, the tzaddik can sort of send this person on a mission, right? We learned about that Beis Knesses in Yerushalayim somewhere, where it's mamish the Beis Din Shamala in that shul behind the Ezra's Nashim somewhere, right? We learned about that interesting, strange piece from Chaim Aran, but the tzaddik is able to come in at the last moment and to give us something. But of course, Rabbi Nachman doesn't want us to rely on this. The ikar is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in as much as we can, trying, mamish, with every ounce of our energy, both with ratzon and with maise, both with Torah and with tefillah and with maisim tovim, the whole gamut of the spiritual religious experience, the Yiddishkeit Avodas Hashem experience, to try to earn it on our own. That's the tachlis. But we need to have that vision of the tzaddik to guide us along as well. So this is the latter part of that sicha, we'll call it 23b, right? The second chelik of Chav Gimel. And let's go inside together, b'siyata d'shmaya. What a privilege to be able to learn the words of the tzaddik with all of you. Thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule, or maybe not, maybe your relaxation time, but it's still something very special, and it's a big Kiddush Hashem. So thank you for being here with me. Amen. Shuv shamati sichasi, really, it's Rav Nassin recording. and saying that I also heard a similar sicha, a similar teaching, HaKadosha Me'ein Zeh, a very holy teaching that is similar to this in style. Sha'amad Rabbi Nachman said, Ba'olam Haba, in the world to come, Anachim Kama Bnei Adam Achutz. In Olam Haba, you find that there are people who are outside. What does that mean, outside? It's Lamalam and Amakim. What's outside? What's inside? Obviously, there's a Meshalim. But there are Neshamas that are, whatever that means, Bachutz, it's obviously not Bifnim. It's obviously not where they're supposed to be, or the ideal place where they should be. And these people, or these Neshamas, are screaming out B'kol Mar in a bitter voice, Tinulanu Mala Echel. Give us what to eat. Listen to this. Ubayim lahem, ubayim etzlam, and the malachim, I assume, come to these neshamas va'imrim lahem, and they say, okay, harei lechem achila, harei lechem achilu shsia, ichlu shesu, here's bread, here's water, eat and drink. Vehem eshivim, but they scream, loy, loy, no, ein anu tzrichim achila zois. This is not the kind of eating. This is not the kind of food that we need. We need the kind of eating and the kind of drinking that are mashalim for Torah and Avodah in this world, but La'asid Lavo emerges being the primary sustenance, both with regard to eating and with regard to drinking. And so they come and they give them pizza, and they come and they give them a couple of steaks. You know, we eat more, from Jews, eat more meat during the 9 days than the rest of the year, you know? So they come and they give them some fat steaks. You see on everybody's status, everybody's posting, right? So they give them some steaks, and they're screaming, this is not what we need, Bechlal. This is not what we mean. This is not what we need. This is not food. This is disgusting to us. And then he says, and you find people that whatever this means again, and we learned in depth last week, when we learned what this means to have garments and levushim to enable us to attain the Ar without it destroying us. We learned from the Baal Tanya and Torah Ar very deep. But people are without those garments, without those, again, you know, just for a mashal, without those 3D glasses, and they walk into the IMAX and they can't see anything. And they need those garments that will enable them to perceive the depth and the ziva shechina, whatever that is. They say, "Akim gam kim oid," and they're screaming again, "Tenu lanu b'mele hiskas ois." Give us something that we can cover ourselves with. Ubayim etzlam va'aymrim. And they come and they say, "Harei lechem al bushim." Here you go. Here are clothing. V'heim yeshivim. But they answer, "Loi, no. Ein elam al bushim nitzrachim lanu klal." This is not the kind of clothing that we need. We need a mitzvah. This is the levush that we need. Anava Amar. Rabbi Nachman closed and he said, fortunate is a person who can have a whole diet, a whole spiritual diet, who is zochet to eat a bunch of prakim of mishnayis, velishtos acharkach, to wash them down, eze kapitlech tehillim, with a few delicious kapitlech tehillim, lislabish beze mitzvahs, and then run to the nearest spiritual clothes store, you know, and just cover himself with so many spiritual garments of the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that a person can surround himself with, that we are ever surrounded with on the level of potential, mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Every single aspect of the human experience is the potential to be mitlabesh. We are essentially surrounded with mitzvahs, but it's all in potential, and it's up to us to actualize that. Says Rabbi Nachman, fortunate is such a person that this is their life. Stuff your face with mishnayis, mamish, anything that you can. You read about Rav Lidi, it's like Bender, what kind of life he lived, how much he walked every single moment of his life with the mishnayis, and he was constantly, you know, spiritually fressing, just stuffing his face with mishnayis, and with tehillim, and then more mishnayis, and tehillim, and then mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim. There's no life like that. There's no life like that. That's the ikra chilo shesia. And how tragic is it? And how painful? You can imagine what kind of pain when they are given all of that, which maybe even a couple of minutes ago, if they're fresh, you know, newcomers up to that place, but in their lifetime, how much they would have desired and how much pleasure they would have taken. And at that point, it's lo shayach. This is not eating, and this is not drinking. This is not food, and this is not drink. This is not what is not going to help us. How painful that is when they need that which they can no longer have. And now they have an abundance, what they ran after in this world, but ultimately, it's essential lack at this point. And that's very, very painful. And so the ikar is of this piece, of course, that we need to go ahead and to try our best to do what we can, mitzidenu, obviously, to follow the eitzes of the tzaddikim, and to try the best that we can to learn halacha. You can't keep halacha without keeping, without learning, right? So to try kalach, shayna halachas b'chol yoyim, about such a person, muftach halay shu ben olam haba, but a person has to learn. And then a person has lilmed al manas l'kayim, al manas l'asays, but ultimately to have a skashrit to tzaddikim, that at the end of the day, even a person that for some reason against his better efforts and attempts to serve Hashem properly, segetnish, it's not going, but a person has the tzaddik to rely on. But of course that doesn't negate our own necessity to try the best that we possibly can. So let's take a look at this piece from the Tanya in Parakeh. We mentioned it at the end last time, but I don't think we got to read it inside, because it was primarily on this piece. It was primarily on the end of the piece that we didn't get to. And the Halakhic Tzaddik, the Baal Tanya, Schus Yagon Aleinu, says the following. Ulufi shvi yediyas ha-Torah milubeshes. I think it's an extra word, Torah. Ulufi shvi yediyas ha-Torah milubeshes benefesh ha-Adam v'sichlei umukefes v'soichem. Like the Baal Tanya explains at great length, what kind of process of intimacy, of yichud, is taking place when a Jew opens a Gemara, when a Jew opens a Mishnah Berurah, a Jew opens our Chashulchan, a person opens a Medrash, something, mashali b'chafetz, but a person studies Torah, he studies the will of God, either practically or theologically. The Baal Tanya describes a yichud atzum, an incredibly intense unification that takes place between the person's mind and the muskel, that which a person is grasping when a person learns Torah. And we learn about how the person's mind grasps the Torah, but then the Torah grasps the person's mind. Who is holding who? Which is holding which? And the Baal Tanya says, "Boyim ka'achas." It's this intimate unity, mamash like water. You can't say you pour one cup of water into the other cup. Which one is holding which? It's just mamash mixed together. And the Baal Tanya has a lashon that there's no intimacy, there's no unity in this world. That's a mashal for what kind of unity there is between a person and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When a person is delving and dowsing their mind into the seichel of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no osher, there's no greater unity and life and vitality and vibrancy and wonder and intimacy and love that takes place like when a person is engaged in such a study. It's similar to the Aron, right, which of course is the symbol for Liman HaTorah, contained the Luchas, Veshiver Luchas Menachem Ba'aron. Primarily, the Kedusha of the Aron is the Kedusha of the Torah. And we find by the Aron also an interesting thing, Aron Noisei Es Noisav. It's a similar thing, that who carried the Aron? Was the Aron carrying the people who were holding it? Or the people who were holding it carrying the Aron? It's the same Nakuda, like the Baal Tanya describes about the process of Liman HaTorah. It's mamash Aron Noisei Es Noisav. We're carrying the Torah, but the Torah mamash is carrying us. So here the Baal Tanya makes reference to this model, where he says, Melubeshes benefesh ha'adam v'sichlei umukefes b'soicham. L'chei nikreis b'shem lechem umazen hanefesh. It goes inside of us. And it's considered to be spiritual food. Our body is sustained through the food that we eat. And I bless us all that we should always have enough. Rachman al-Atsan, there were generations not too long ago where they didn't have what to eat. And we have to be grateful for that. To us, it's a given. We have to be very grateful for that, to appreciate what kind of our standard of living. Okay, it comes with its own challenges. But at least that, Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with that kind of sustenance and security on the simplest basic level. But the food that we eat keeps the body going, and the Torah that we learn is considered spiritual sustenance. Just like physical bread sustains the body, literally we eat it and it goes inside of us and it becomes a part of us. And the lechem that we eat becomes our own flesh. It becomes a part and parcel of who we are. And then a person's living, and then a person's able to have vitality, vibrancy, to exist in this world. Kach b'yediyas ha-Torah v'asagasa b'nefesh ha-adam. It's the same thing with the Torah. Shaloyim de-hetiv b'iyun. That a person learns depth. That's what the Baal Tanya stresses. It's so important to learn b'iyun. Mamash b'iyun. Because when we learn Be'in on this level, then more of our mind, more of our mental cognitive capacities are completely and entirely unified with what we're learning, that there's no makam for anything else. And we don't realize a person gets into this inyan of hasmada, that already the Musar Tzaddikim speak about Ritzifus, and after 2 hours and 3 hours and 4 hours, a person who takes a Shabbos, that's primarily what Shabbos is for. During the week we're busy, and then Shabbos we think we should kick up our feet. Mamash not. Shabbos is the time for learning. A person has on the long Shabbos afternoons what you can make of it. If you have an early meal and you're able to sneak out of the house and you're able to send the kids to groups, so you have a babysitter, their older siblings watch, or whatever it is, chas v'shalom, not to burden the wife, right? And a person should mamash, you know, make sure that we're giving it all that we can and helping out and so on and so forth to the extent possible. But really, it's such an opportunity. You take a few hours on a Shabbos afternoon. You can mamish just get lost in the learning. Take a sugya. Take a masifta gemara. Open to the back. Take one of those beautiful chaburas that they have prepared. You can get lost in a sugya. And you'll see, the more be'in that we're learning, the more we don't even realize, oh my gosh, it's mincha already. 3 hours passed by. You didn't even recognize. Didn't even realize because you were doused. You were delved. You were swimming in the Yama Talmud. And there's nothing like that. So it's so important, shalayim dehate be'in, sichlei action is speses besichlei, until the Torah becomes mamish part and parcel of us. And it becomes one with us. And we can become one. Just like bread goes inside of us and it becomes part of us. And the enzymes and the cells and whatever's going on, it mamish brings it into the bloodstream and brings it into our physical makeup. So too the Torah becomes mamish. If mamish becomes part of us, nasim mazin lenefesh, the chayim the kirba becomes real chayim, not just physical life. That's also true, but mechay hachayim, we draw on the ikker of life, without which life is really not worth living. This world is absurd. This world is bizarre. This world is meaningless. This world is filled with pain. And if a person's disconnected from the Torah Kedosha, there's nowhere else to run. Because what else are you going to do? I spoke to somebody recently. He said, "I lost all hope in humanity. You know, over the pandemic, and we're not able to care for one another. We're not able to, you know, to act maturely based on health and so on and so forth. And look what's happening with the world. And look what's going on with global warming and so on and so forth. And on the one hand, there's something to that. On the other hand, the person that's connected to the Torah Kedosha, there's hope." Yesh tikva la'acharisam, a person who's connected to the hashkafa, a person who's living life and looking at the world through ruchnias eyes, through Torah eyes, through the eyes of believing that the world is getting better and better every moment, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is busy doing things, making tikkunim. There's no such thing that this all ends in a global, you know, catastrophe. Kadosh Baruch Hu is mamash bringing the world, like the Zohar Kadosh says, b'safra da, with this sefer, yafkam be'g mingalusa barachame. Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking us out, barachamim rabim akabtzeim. Mamash, Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing this to the end in the best possible conceivable way. And so there's hope, and it gives us life. Michai hachayim ein sof baru. Baruch Hu. Should be bar, or maybe it is Baruch. Not clear. Yeah, Baruch Hu. Hamalubish bechachmasa v'tarasei shebekirba. But it's not the Torah in and of itself. The Torah is a means toward an end. It's yichud kutshabarichu ushchintei. It's our neshamas as they come into union and intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who exists within the concepts that we find in the Torah, that conceived, that began in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. And this is Pshat, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, V'soyrascha, Ribbono Shel Olam, your Torah, B'soych Me'ai, it's in my stomach. What do you mean it's in your stomach? It's in your head. What you know, they say a Boich Svara, a person says something that's not so strong, they say it came from your stomach. What does it mean? V'soyrascha, B'soych Me'ai, it comes from your brain. But over here, says the Baal Tanya, David HaMelech is saying that it's just like Lechem. Just like lechem that I eat becomes part and parcel of my physical makeup, and it gives me vitality and vibrancy. So a person who zoyche nasa l'sam chayim, a person who zoche to learn Torah properly, b'soyche meyai, not my physical stomach, it came into my spiritual stomach, I consumed it, I devoured it, it became a part of me, I became better for it, I became filled with the highest form of life, the chay hachayim. Like it's written from the Hilgah Arizal Sharmim Dalad Paragimel, Shalavushi and Ashavas began Eden Hema Mitzvahs. That the clothes for the Nesham and Gan Eden, that's what we had been speaking about. That's the mitzvahs from Isim Toibim that a person does. Va Torah and drink, Hu Hamazin Linesham, Sha'askaba Lamazeh, Betor Lishma. When a person fills himself up, that's the Ikra satisfaction. We'll learn, hopefully, if we have time at the very end, we'll learn in Chaf Hei. in Sichas Ran about what the eating of the tzaddikim looked like. Not Nachav Hei, Chavdal, in the next piece. What the eating of the tzaddikim was. But the primary satiation, the primary satisfaction comes from Torah and mitzvahs. And what does it mean to learn Lishma? And this is obviously the famous klal of the Baal Tanya. There were many other shitas you find even in Rishonim. It wasn't, you know, just the Achronim tried to figure out what Lishma was. You find the shitas of Rashba and there's a shitas of Rash. There are earlier shitas, and then you find even the Achronim. The Chavetz Chaim has a Mechudish shita in Lishma. The Nevesh HaChaim obviously has a shita in Lishma. There are many, and of course, if we could do all of them, Matov Manayim. But the Baal Tanya's particular approach, this chelek of this derech of Yiddishkeit, of which there are many, this particular derech was Hainu Kedei Lekasher Nafshi LaHashem, was Dveikus. What does it mean, Lishma? You're not learning Lashem HaTorah. Even Rav Kook has a few shitas in Lishma. The Ma'ari Naim has about 10 shitas in Lishma throughout the Sefer. But the classic Hasidic approach to Lishma is Mamish Dveikus. Not to learn for the sake of the Torah, to increase the Torah by adding your own chidushim, or to be davuk to the Torah, but to be davuk Mamish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who exists within the Torah. That's a whole different experience. A person has this experience of sitting down with the Gemara, and before you start, you say, Rabbeinu Shalom, you're present in this process. Like we always say, Master of the world, I'm connecting with you. I want to become intimate with you. I want to build a relationship with you. I love you, and this is an expression of my love for you. And this is how I speak to you, and this is how you speak to me. That's a different learning. It's a different Seder. It's imbued with much more meaning than simply studying for a test, or simply trying to understand the sugya well so you can ask the best question. You understand, it becomes a whole different inyan, mamash a whole different avoda. Lekasher nafshi l'Hashem al-yidei asagas ha-Torah asher kefisichlei, ish kefisichlei, rather, however much the person can come, ishikas ha-Briyetz Chaim. Good, that's the Tanya. Torah, mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, avoda, tefila, tehillim, all of this is the eating, drinking, and the levushim, I think. We spoke about, maybe it's the Maslow pyramid, I think it's called in psychology, right? All of these needs of a person. I think it's the Maslow pyramid or something like that. Probably a Yid, who knows, Maslow. It's like I have friends Maslow, right? But this nekuda of a pyramid where there are needs of a person. What sits at the base of the Maslow pyramid of needs, spiritually speaking? Torah, mitzvah, sumaisim, tovim. Torah, avoida, gemilas, chasadim. This is the drink, the food, and the levushim, the garments. It's like basic to survive as a yid in this world. To survive as a person in this world, really, especially today. Not to drown. Mamish not to drown. A person, these three elements, choyk v'layavar, every day, no matter what else you're doing, make sure there's Torah, make sure there's avoda, make sure in some way, in some form, you live in a family, there are needs, there are obligations, there are responsibilities. Gemilas chasadim. A person, even on the most basic level, shachris, mincha, mariv, however much a person, there are some women on the call as well, shachris, maybe even a mincha, if you could snatch it, if you could manage to find the time, that's tefillah. But Torah, on some level, it's chayav liyot. We spoke about this. You can't go one day without learning something, al kapanim, open a sefer, learn two lines, but something without which we become weak, and physically we might not feel it. Maybe on the contrary, we feel physically maybe even stronger, more gashmias, but spiritually we're withering away. And so that's the ikra Ibn Nachman said in this beautiful mashal and expression. Let's read it again. Ashrei mi shezoich lechol kama prakim mishnayis. Fortunate is a person that spends a Sunday morning, he eats a bunch of prakim of mishnayis. V'lishtos achakach eiz a kapitlech tehillim. He washes it down with a few kapitlech tehillim. V'lislabish be'ez a mitzvahs. And he puts on this very fancy garment of mitzvahs. That's what it's all about. But I want to take you to the Mesilas Yesharim Perek Aleph. A very, very fascinating machlekes. Very, very interesting. Listen to this. The Heilig Ramchal, in what we describe as the all-important first parak of Mesilas Yesharim, it's, you know, whether you get to the rest of it, Matayva Manoim, but the first parak, Mamish, you have to learn. Mamish, the first parak of Mesilas Yesharim, there was a point, like I mentioned, where I was learning it every Sunday, just to give me a little refresher. I really should still be doing that. But the first parak of Mesilas Yesharim is Mamish, Yisoid HaYisoidis. And there's a paragraph in there which, interestingly enough, it's not as if they've been mevarer what the real Girsa is, because if you Google this line, you'll still find both. There's a word that they're not sure what exactly the girsa is on this word. I'm going to read you both of them. And I think based on the teaching in Sichas Ran that we just learned, it becomes mevur, the more shver girsa, the more difficult wording, right, that they found in a manuscript, the more difficult wording, maybe it wasn't unclear in the manuscript because a beis and a chaf, which is the letter in question, look very similar, we're going to try to explain it. So listen to the line from the Mesillas Yesharim. He says, Ela b'riyasi shel ha'adam, the creation of man, l'matzavo ba'olam ha'bohi, was created for what? For olam haba, not for this world. Okay, Hasidus may have a different focus, right? But classically, theologically, based on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, right, the Iker is the next world. Hasidus came and turned everything over and said the Iker is this world, and the Iker is Dir B'tachtoinim, and the Iker is the Baal Tanya describes how the Schar mitzvahs and the mitzvah itself, we can have more access to Hasagas and Elokus in this world than in the next world. This world is Shechina Mamish, the next world is Ziva Shechina. How that works out with Schar and Onish, I don't know, but that's the Hasidim. But before that, meaning in classical Hashkafa, before the Hasidus, you know, the Hasidim came along, before the Hasag of Hasidus for the last generation came along, was that the Iker, based on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Haskin Atzmecha in the Prozdar, Kadesh, Tikanis Latraklin, this world is only transient, leading to the eternality of the next world. So the Iker creation of man was for Lamatzava, but Lamatbahi. V'alkein, says the Mesillas Yesharim, therefore, nitna boi neshama zois. Therefore, a person was given this neshama. Ki lo ro'ui la'avoid. Because for it, meaning for the neshama, it is fitting to serve, and it is fitting to go ahead and to try to work on behalf of the neshama primarily. Then a person will be able to receive his schar or her schar in the makom uvizman, in that time, Hayom la'asosam l'machar l'kabas charm, and that great tomorrow with a capital T, right? The tomorrow of our lives. We should all live long and happy to 120. Now listen to this line, because this is where it gets dicey. Shelo yiyed davar nimas el neshmasai. Let's read it first with the beis. So that there should be nothing disgusting to the soul be'olam hazeh, in this world. This world will be something that is enjoyable for the neshama of Zeh Pashut. Okay, that makes sense, right? It doesn't really fit with the broader context of the Mesillas Yesharim's discussion about how much the neshama hates this world. Like, it doesn't seem to make a caveat that if a person is doing this world properly, Mamish says, Gashmi is disgusting, but it's easier to read it that way. A much more difficult girsa, but again, there are those Mesillas Yesharim. I'm sure you all have a Mesillas Yesharim at home somewhere. Open it up, see what the girsa says there, because it's still split. You find different girsas and different svarim. Other svarim say, Shaloya davar nimas al nashmasai ki oilam hase, which is a pella. Because that would be referring to the schar, the reward that the neshama is going to get in the next world, that schar shouldn't be disgusting to the neshama. Ka'olam hazeh, just like this world was disgusting to the neshama. And that's why I assume they changed it to a beis, because that really doesn't sound like it fits. Like, how, what does that mean? I read it in the context. V'alkein nitna ba neshama hazeh. Therefore, this holy soul was given to a person. Ki la ro'ui la'avoid. Because for it, a person should serve. U'ba yuchala adam la'kabal ha'schar b'mekoyim yivizmanay. And then a person will receive schar in the next world in the right time and place. Shalo yiyah davar nimas al neshmasay ka'olam hazeh. Seems to say that schar won't end up being just as disgusting to the soul as this world was. The neshama will enjoy the schar. So of course, now it doesn't sound strange, after having learned this piece from Sichas Aran, where it's mamash mevur hativ, where Rabbi Nachman describes again that there are neshamas that are bachutz, and they're screaming out, Tenu lanu malechel, Tenu lanu lishtas, give lanu malishtas, give us what to eat, give us what to drink. And they come out and they give him a sub sandwich, and they give him a pie of pizza, and they come out and they give it. And the neshamas are screaming out in pain. They're ki'ilu, they're being taunted. This is not what we need. This is not the kind of food we need. This is not the kind of drink we need. Based on that piece in Sichas Rani, can mamash understand mevur hativ, the chaf, in the Girsa, in the Mesillas Yesharim. That if a person will work properly in this world and sustain the soul with what the soul needs for its own primary sustenance, then it'll be able to have its schar in olam haba, that schar won't be that which was disgusting for the soul in this world, the physical food, the physical drink that Rabbi Nachman says they have up there, in a way to taunt, in a way that's itself the Gehenna of the neshamas, that they're no longer able to take a step back to get back into this realm to fix up hayoyim la'asaysam, ulamacha l'kabos charam. You can't go back to yesterday. It is what it is. And so maybe we could be miyashiv that girsa in the Mesil Sesharim based on this teaching from Sichas Ram. But what comes out from all this, again, from this particular teaching, again, is two primary nukudas. And then we're going to move onward. The first nukuda is we have to do everything in our capacity to try our best to focus primarily on the soul's sustenance. We do not want gashmis. We don't want it. Let's be honest with ourselves. It's not something we want. We spend our whole lives trying to think how we could avoid it, how we could get around it, how we can get rid of it. We don't want it. We feel compelled, we feel forced. There's something that's pushing us toward this, but we, the Etzem, don't want it. Given the chance, like I said many times in the past, if we were given the option to simply let go of the Yetzer Hara, all of us, in a blink of an eye, we wouldn't even think about it for a minute. That is not what we want, especially chever like this. LPI chever, growth-oriented chever, chassidically-oriented chever, for sure. It's not even a question. This is not what we want. This is not what we, the Etzem, find enjoyable. The body has an inyan with it. The Yetzer Hara has a deep root within our body. From a very long period of time ago. What can we do? We're a goof. But primarily, we're the neshama that doesn't want any of this stuff. And so it's not that we have to force ourselves and it's so difficult. This is Mamash. Rabbi Nachman basically gives us allowance to live the best life possible, like permission, like we needed it. Permission to Mamash remember what the ikr is, what the ikr is. Mamash, to focus on the physical, on the spiritual sustenance, to focus on the spiritual garments, not to get distracted with this worldliness. It doesn't matter other people's opinions of clothing, other people's opinions of standard, of living and different things. Mamash, it's just the lo anyan. It's pashut a waste of, it's literally a waste of time. And time is of the essence, of course. But the ikr is the spiritual sustenance. And then we spoke about his skarvus to tzaddikim, where Rabbi Nachman said that even a person who comes up to Shemayim and he has nothing, but he had connection to the tzaddik, yesh sikui, there's some sort of ability for the tzaddik to be able to help such a person out on some level. Okay, let's jump into Sichas Ran Chaf Dalid. This is a very lengthy sikha. I don't have much to say about it. I mean, we'll see a piece from the Drashas Aran, we'll see a piece from Chaim Aran, but primarily the piece is the piece in and of itself. It's a very interesting piece. It's a piece that I always found a little bit difficult. Maybe some of the Chevra will help, or in the context of our learning together, we'll be able to channel Siyata Deshmaya to be able to get clarity. But let's learn this relatively lengthy mashal from the Rebbe, and we'll try to get into it a little bit. It says the Eliget Tzadik Schus Yagan Aleinu. Malas hazoicha liten mois l'tzadike emes. The benefit and the value of being able to give money to true tzaddikim. And of course, that means to support anything that's connected to true tzaddikim. Obviously, not going to blow this opportunity to make a plug for LPI here, of course. Right? So obviously, this is all giving money to true tzaddikim, right? Literally. I mean, we're mamash spreading the word about tzaddikim and spreading teachings in the world. So of course, if anybody has any meister money extras, we can mamash use it. So the mile of giving money to tzaddikei emes, he gedoyl of yekara ma'oid ma'oid. It's mamash, that the most elevated kind of tzedakah. It's a bechina of the tzedakah of Eretz Yisrael, Tzadik Amar, in Nefesh, what Eretz Yisrael is in Makom, and how much the Baal Tanya in the end of Igaris HaKodesh talks about what it is to support, you know, to give money to Eretz Yisrael. That was his inyan. He was collecting money and he would send it. G'doy levi yakar ma'oid ma'oid. L'mashal. And he says, here we're going to give an example to it, or like an analogy to describe this. Ben shenisrachik mi'aviv. He says that there's a child that gets lost from a father. Nebuch, a terrible thing. Agav, I want to tell you a very beautiful mashal. We're in the 9 days. We can't not make mention of the Beis HaMikdash. We can't not make mention of Yerushalayim. I want to tell you just parenthetically. It's a separate mashal for something else, but it just reminded me. And whatever falls on a person's mind, certainly in a way of Kedusha, you gotta take it, right? So listen to this. I heard a mashal, and then we'll get to Rabbi Nachman's mashal. But he says, what's this inyan? I heard from a chaver, from a Rebbe of mine, Rav Yitzchak Septim, as some of us know. And Rav Yitzchak told me, he said, what's this inyan that you didn't have with the Kaisel for 2,000 years, as much as we could, long before the state, but there were always these pictures of the Teimanim, and whoever was able, we clung to this wall. Chazal tell us in the Medrash, Mi'olam Lezaza Shechina, Mi'Kaisel Ma'aravi. There's an inyan that we have with this little broken wall, with this retaining wall. Mamash, the outside of the outside is like nowhere near. It's not the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's a remnant. It's something we could touch, whatever we have left. He says, what's the sod that we're always going to the Kotel as much as we can to connect to that place? And he said, a mashal, he says, imagine you have a father that's walking with his son in a crowded shuk. And he's walking in this place. And he tells his son, hold on to my hand tightly because there's a lot of people here and you could get swept away by the crowd. It's dangerous. Mamash, hold my hand. And the inevitable happens, and they're walking, and he trips on a step, and for one second he stops, and he lets go, and before he knows it, his father is being swept onward, and he's being carried by the crowd in the opposite direction. And they get estranged one from the other, much like we're going to describe in this mashal from Rabbi Nachman. And Mamash's son doesn't know what to do. And he's thinking to himself, okay, what should he do? He should stand on a chair and start screaming, there's 1,000 people here. So he thinks to himself, you know, after being lost for so long, he says, I'm just going to go back home. Right? I'll just go back home. Maybe father's at home. And so he goes home and he finds Mamash that the house is gone. And the house is destroyed. And the only thing that's left of this house is this little gate on the outside. And he says, Gavalt, even if my father's not home, he's got to come back here at some point. So I'm going to sit by this gate. I'm going to sit in this place. Because this is the place that when father comes home, this is where he'll be coming to. And so this is our inyan by the Kaisel, to be able to sit there. And we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. We don't know the Shechino is nostalgic. We're doing our best to draw it back down as much as we can, primarily through our yearning, primarily through the Echad Amar Ba Echad Amam Et Bovad Sheyichav In Liba La Shemayim Rachmano Liba Boy. That's where the ikar is. The ikar is in the yearning and the longing and that little stolen moment of a deep sigh of knowing that this is not the way that I want to live my life. This is not, even if we're not able to do the best that we can all the time, we're trying the best that we can. But the ikar is the shiver and lave and the brokenness of feeling that we're not in our place. This is not how I want to live. Ribbono Shel Olam, this is not the way the world is supposed to look. This is not the way humanity is supposed to be. So we come back to this little broken gate because that's where our Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to be coming back to. So that's a sweet mashal that I was just reminded of. But here, let's go back inside to the mashal of Rabbi Nachman's Chusya Gunalein when he says, V'chein Av. Or again, L'mashal, Ben Shinisrachik Mi Av. Very similarly, a son that gets estranged, distanced from the father, and the son has a tremendously deep and expansive yearning for the father, and the father has tremendous yearning for the son as well. Leilech, right? Okay, liyamim, over the expanse of time, the father says, I gotta go looking for him. I gotta go looking for the son. And then the son is stirred to say, I gotta do something practical. I can't just sit here and mope. I gotta look for my father. Looking is better than not looking as much as I can. To go and travel toward his father. And so, miraculously, they find that they're on the same road and they're traveling mamish toward each other. And the more that the son is going closer to the father, and the father is going closer to the son, I don't know, somehow they just have this intuitive feeling they're on the right path. They're going to see each other soon. And there's a tremendous longing that's there. And they're traveling toward each other. The father to the son, and the son to the father. Until they literally became mamish, close, they're in the same neighborhood. And our two parsois, there are just two miles, whatever it is, translated into our terms, there are 2 miles between them. And listen to what happens here. The Haven Av, and the father understands, with all of his incredibly powerful longing, if he continues with this just incredible longing and this incredible excitement and this desire, he's not going to have koach to be able to make it these 2 parsois. He's going to faint or he's going to pass out. I don't know what's going to happen. Incredibly powerful yearnings. He just is not able to do it. V'chein haben, and the son had the same feeling. Haven, he understood. Gam kein shein lo yod koyach lizbalaga guim shaleilu ashtei aparsoris hachrenes. He does not have any capacity anymore to be able to hold this level of yearning and desire for these last 2 miles. V'im yamshich asme achareim teitzei nafshich as v'shalom. He'll pass out. He'll pass away. He's not going to be able to do it. Yishvu atzman, and so both the father and the son decide for themselves lahashich legamri kol agaguim, to sort of distract themselves from it, not allow themselves to be on fire with this level of yearning, lavir midaita, and to literally just leave it go from their minds. B'soichach, in that very moment, ba'echod imagala, there comes a person with a very fancy wagon and 12 white horses. V'chatav zaben, and he takes the son onto the wagon. V'hivil la'av, and he hears gadol, and he brings him to the father in this incredibly powerfully, speedy way. Without him needing to have let go of the gaguim, without him needing to have stepped down from that level of yearning. What kind of incredible pleasure this person brought about. That he went ahead and he brought the son to the father when both were still on this incredible level of gaguim. Maybe they would have met and it would have been a gewalt. It would have been tremendously incredible. But now that they're amidst this incredible feeling of longing and yearning, it was that much more beautiful. It was that much more impactful and wonderful. Says the Rebbe, the Nimshal is V'chein La Tzadik, and the same is true for the Tzadik. Lach Sev L'Skarv L'Hashem Yisbarach. I'm sorry. V'chein La Tzadik, and the same is true about the Tzadik. Shu Ben L'Hashem Yisbarach. All of us are children to Hashem. All of humanity on some level is children to Hashem, but certainly Am Yisrael, that we're called Bnei B'chayri Yisrael, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elikechem. But the tzaddik, more zoomed in, is Mamash, a son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'machmas Masach HaMadil. But because there's some barrier, because there's some wall in between Yisrachik, may Aviv Yisbarach, he becomes distant. On his level, not distant, Mamash, but he's not able to Mamash, be as intimately close as he would love to be. And he has incredible, incredible, incredible longing. Hashem has incredible longing. And the tzaddik has longing. Like the mashal, they become close to one another. How does one become close to Hashem? How does the tzaddik become close? Yichudim and kavanis and avoidis and all the things that the tzaddik is doing to climb that ruchniya spiritual ladder until he's very, very close. Whatever the nimshal means, that there's a distance between them. Vehevinu, and this tragic thing, they understood. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that's the difficulty. Like what Hakadosh Baruch Hu needed to let go of the gaguim. What was going to happen to him exactly? It's difficult to understand how this translates into the nimshal so perfectly. But on some level, they understood that tzaddik and Hashem shalagoyda la gaguim ef shalizbal oid. They can't handle it anymore. Veskimu lahashlach gaguim idaitem kiu yisbarach amar ha'im ein loy rak esek zeh. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, I only have this tzaddik in the world. I don't have a billion other things going on that I can't distract myself with. Forget about just this world. It's like I have a bunch of other universes that I can run at any given moment that I can focus on. There's plenty that Hashem can be distracted by. And the tzaddik says, I only have this avodah. I can involve myself with other things that aren't particular to this particular climbing of the ladder that I'm trying to accomplish. Again, it's difficult to understand what these things mean. Hashem is going to distract himself from the tzaddik and focus on something else. The tzaddik is going to... It's difficult, but... To take it, in terms of what Rabbi Nachman is describing, there are other things that I can involve myself with. And not just sit in this state of incredible longing and gaguim and ichudim. The eskimu, therefore, they decided lahavar agaguim idaitam, to let go of these longings. Pesoichkach ba'ish Yisraeli, echod imagola. Listen to this, because I'll just take you outside for a second. Ordinarily, we would assume that what's preventing the tzaddik from getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu quickly? Parnasa. Because that's what he began with, in the sense that he needs to be busy with Daigas of Parnasa, he needs to be busy with this worldly things, and that's preventing him from getting close to Hashem in as much as, he should be able to if he had his needs being met. Rabbi Nachman says something different. It's not that the person comes and supports the tzaddik, thereby enabling him to clear a schedule and focus primarily on Avodas Hashem. No, no. Listen to this one. B'soich kach, ba'ish Yisraeli echad, a Jewish person comes im agala, in the proverbial metaphoric agala, this wagon, but it means parnasa. V'havila tzaddik parnasa, and he goes ahead and he gives the tzaddik parnasa. V'al yideizeh, and through the parnasa, which then translates into a hearty meal for the tzaddik, that brings the tzaddik incredibly close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way, and allows him to cross those last 2 miles easily. because eating by tzaddikim is an incredibly lofty thing. You see, it's different. It's not that, oh, he gives him parnasa and allows him to focus on overtly spiritual things. No, no. He gives him parnasa, he's able to go grocery shopping, and he's able to buy food, and his eating is the avoda that's going to be even more than dalas, tefillah, and tzitzis, it sounded like, right? Because he thought, I could distract myself and focus on these more overtly spiritual acts. No, no. It's the eating dafka. And the pasuk here says, ki tzadik oich l'soyv anafshay. It's dafka, the tzadik, that is able to eat l'soyv anafshay, to satisfy his soul. The tzaddikim eat in such a way, you know how they get satisfied? And mamash, the lofty spiritual lights are these spiritual illuminations that are even above the worlds, like higher than Atzilus. We find that the true great tzaddik will merit through his parnasa, through his eating. Mamash, the tzaddik can get to such a madrega where eating is the ikar. We're going to learn in a minute from Chaim Ran, Adavra Nechmad. I said it in the past, but we'll learn it inside now. To what extent eating is an avoda by tzaddikim? Nimsa kama v'kama tainu garam ze ish. How incredible it is. This person that was zochet to be the vehicle, literally the vehicle, but metaphorically the vehicle, in the mashal, literally, to bring the tzaddik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu amidst this incredible gaguim, by giving him to eat, by hosting Achnasas Archim, to be able to give the tzaddikim that ability to do their avoda through eating. That was he was missing. He had tzitzis, he had tefillin. It was the meal he needed. Incredible. Shal yideze. Right, nimsa kama v'kama tanug again garam ze ishehevi parnasa la tzadik hamiti shal yedeze hu mevi umakarvas la tzadik la Hashem Yisbarach. Through this, that he enables the tzadik to do his avoda dafka through the meal, he brings the tzadik very close to Hashem. Listen to this drasha haran. It's really kedai to see the whole thing because it's a very long piece. Drasha haran vav, very very foundational, fundamental. But just this keta, listen to this. The drasha haran here is going to be speaking about what a mistake people make when they think that the ikar avoid of the tzaddikim is in their learning and davening. He says, mamish not. He says, the ikar avoid of the tzaddikim is not in the learning and davening klape, eating and drinking, and it's not either in the eating and drinking klape, the learning and davening. It's in their koach hakavana that imbues both the learning, the davening, the eating, the doing business. It's the koach hakavana that the tzaddikim are able to foster, that then enables them to, you know, to elevate all aspects of life, both the spiritual and the physical. Says the drasha haran, hine, bi'arnu, it should be missing a nun, I think, or maybe bi'arai, it was explained, or he explained, maybe, if he's quoting someone, I don't know. Ki ein ikar hamadrega hachachma. The ikar madrega is not simply to know things. The ikar avoda is to learn so that you can do. That's why there's an opinion in the Gemara that the limud is greater than maisa, only because maybe lide maisa, but the ikar is the maisa. The ikar is the maisa. But maisa bekavana. Because good things, good deeds, mitzvahs maisim toivim chesed, ein tachlisam shiyasam advarim. The point isn't that your physical body should be engaged in just mindlessly by rote doing the action. The point is to bring your whole person into that action, to allow it to affect the lave. And come and see what this inyan of kavana is. Because when a person has as a kavana a relationship with Hashem, who the Baal Shem HaKadosh revealed is not only found in the Beis Medrash and in the Beis Knesset, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in every particle of physicality. The whole world is our Beis Medrash, like we learned in the Parsha Shir. Everything is an avenue, is a lane to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person has that as their goal, even when a person is involved in the mundane aspects of living, business, a person goes shopping, a person's buying and selling, whether merchandise or real estate or whatever a person's involved with, a person's working a 9-to-5, you don't usually see Lushinus like them, this is from a Rishon, but even even outside of Chassidus, you don't find such a lashon. You'd think that it came from the Maharanaim, like we learned last week. Literally, we learned a very similar line. Again, when a person has as his kavana dveikas, gam kishu misasik b'dvarim ha'moyniyim b'inyinei ha'asakim ha'kinyanim, oyved Hashem yizbarach avoida gemura, it's literally avodas Hashem. Umishein kavana asay dveika b'shem yizbarach, gam kishu chayshav l'avodas Hashem yizbarach, humamri asay. Very powerful. He says a person whose kavana is not toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in worst case scenario, a person's kavana is for his own prestige or a person's stam mindless, you know, and the Nevi Shechaim stresses that there's value in that somewhere. But a person whose kavana is like the Ramcha, like Taisus tells us, what, you know, as a machlekes, so what loy lishma means, Taisus also means lekanta, a person who's coming, adaraba, mamish adaraba, in his avoida is mamre, he's rebelling against Hashem. This famously, the Halig Navi says in Yeshaya b'fiv who v'svasav kibduni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's very nice. They honored me with their lips. This is where the lashon lip service comes from. It comes from this pasuk. They paid lip service, right? They said everything that they were supposed to say. They did all the viduyim. V'nemar karav atem b'fiim. You're very close with your mouths. But the end of that pasuk, of course, is v'libam richak mimeni. But their hearts were distant. And that's what the cause of the Beis HaMikdash destruction was the heart. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the place of the lev. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of kavana. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of avodas Hashem, where it's hashuras hashchina. Because we could have 1,000 batei mikdash, if they're devoid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, memela they're destroyed. Memela they're destroyed. That's the ikur destruction. Because there was no point of a Beis HaMikdash anymore, because the kavana was gone. Because the soul was missing. So memela the body deteriorated. Ki ein ikar maisa amitzus of akashas hasvasayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not just want our mindless rote actions and our mindless recitation of prayers. Aval achrei kavanas alev heinan dvarim. But the Eligaran says that the ikar is after the lev. Ulevikach amrazal chadivin alai divrei doidim yoysim yeinu shel Torah. The Eligar Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it was more precious to me the words of the chachamim more than the yeinu shel Torah, which Rashi tells us is Torah Shebiksav. It's even more precious to me. The tambazeh, what's the reason? Ki divrei chachamim, you know what the divrei chachamim is? You know what that is a reference to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is more precious to me than all the Torah learning in the world? It's a reference to gedarim, the siyagim, the takanas, le'ikar ha-mitzvahs. It was all of these gedarim that Chazal made for us. Gidri gedarim. Oh my gosh, how much really the mitzvah is Adalis HaShachar. And they made it all the way back into Chatzayis, Kedil HaHarach HaGadam and Aveira, and all of these in Yanim, all of the different, and that's how literally Shas begins, because all the different hagdaras of Chazal are like that. They're all mamash there to make offense. Asu siyag la'tayra. Why would a person do that? Why would Chazal make gedarim? Why would a person make a gedar in his or her own life? Moira, it shows. It shows that there's a personal commitment here. It means that I want to do it as best as possible. Because again, if it's just to get by, so then you don't need a gedar. Just do the best that you can, right? And fulfill the letter of the law. But to go beyond the letter of the law, that already shows, it's amok. It means that there's something deep here. It means that I'm in it, for real. Aval bekavana gemura means you're doing it for real. V'ze ikur ha-mitzvahs v'tachlis and ha-shalim. This is the primary inyan of the mitzvahs. Ki misho hu shlama derech zeh, a person who's serving Hashem on this level, b'chol mitzvah kala sh'oise me'emes, hu moidia kol ha-amiris ha-toivas, v'gam ba'asakam ha-moinim, anything, whether a person is doing Torah, studying Torah, a person is doing mitzvahs v'maisim tayvim, or, like we said, a person is doing business. Memela, it's bursting with the light of truth. And it's bursting with the light of dveikus and connection to Hashem. And he says, people make a big mistake about this. And this is mamish what people think stam. Because he says the simple people, when they look at people, tzaddikim, that engage in lowly things, in mundane, this worldly things. For example, you look at the Avos HaKadoshim. They were busy with with the flocks outside, shepherding, planting, working the land, digging pits. What's going on here? These were the biggest tzaddikim in the world. They had nothing better to do with their time. They couldn't find some gvir somewhere to build them a koil, adapt Avram Avinu's tent, give him some yishuv adas. What's going on here? The man is digging and planting and shepherding. He was busy. Yaakov Avinu takes of his time in the life of Yaakov to go back for the small little jugs. Pachim ketanim. Va'amr ha'hamoyne. So the simple people say, "Beliboy, asa king gamani." So then I'll also do the same thing, just like them. People treat them like they're tzaddikim. Give me a break. He's the same businessman I am. The Chafetz Chaim also had a shop in Radin. So I could also, they make a mistake. But he says, woe is to those that see, but they don't know what they're seeing. But he says, I never saw a more Hasidish paragraph than, from a Rishon, right? He says, they're only seeing the Chitzainius. But they don't look deeper. He says that tzaddikim again can do the same exact thing as the next guy. You would find no difference in their schedule. Both have the time that they learn. Both have the time that they work. Both have the time that they devote to their families. Both have the time that they're involved in eating, drinking, sleeping, and so on and so forth. What it means to be human. But to one person is a tzaddik yisoid olam, and the next guy, stam. Rabbi Nachman says in Likutei Moran that there's a tzaddik that the whole entire world depends on, and you walk by him on the street and it looks like nothing to you. Mamish nothing to you. He says in the same way that Eretz Yisrael, we may have learned this inside, I think we did. He said the same way that Eretz Yisrael does not look different than all the other lands, but it's the holiest place in the universe. Doesn't look different. It's the same, but it's mamish different. That's Rabbi Nachman says, you never know. And that's what Hasidus, primarily Rav Shlomo Kalbach, really brought that down into the world, where you never know. Like he used to sing, you never know, you never know. You push it, never know. Primarily here in Yerushalayim, I walk down the street, you walk by a person, he doesn't look like anything on the outside. We talked about this already. You mamish never know. It could be this person is literally holding up the whole world. You never know. And not just because I don't know anything about him. Even if I would know about him, that... not so impressive. He just lives a regular life like me. I still would never know. Because the ikar is not in what you do. The ikar is in how you do it. And the ikar is with what kavana you do it. And he says over here, an interesting thing over here. He says, "Umama oy daimelaz amashashol abukrat." I looked this up. It wasn't so easy, but apparently this is the way that the Rishonim would refer to Hippocrates. He was a very, very famous Greek doctor called the father of modern medicine, even though he worked with many ideas that are obsolete today. But certain medical ethics and certain the concept of prognosis, different things he established in the world. This person, Hippocrates. So he says that this doctor, Hippocrates, brought B'sefer HaNhagas HaChadosh, right, in his Sefer that he wrote. I guarantee you that it wouldn't get the badatzes, they have to kosher books today, They outlawed certain, they banned certain books because you can't have it. I guarantee you this wouldn't have gotten it. But the Ran not only read it, but he quotes it over here. Okay, but he says over here that he brings in the Sefer HaNhagas HaChadosh, "Lama lo yakir ha'amoyin bin haroife toy v'ra." Listen to what he says. Why don't people understand the difference between a good doctor and a bad doctor? And he answers, with all of these different elements that the good doctor uses to heal his patients with these kind of herbs and these kind of medicines and all the different mixtures and composites and different things that a person is, back then what medicine was, right? Plant-based and everything that they use. Also, He has the same medicine in the cabinet. He has the same, maybe even diplomas on the wall. He has the same office set up with all of the different machines and all the different technologies. His mom is outfitted with the same nekudas. Right, but the good doctor understands how to utilize all of these external things, but he knows what to do and when and how and what to use for which patient. It's very nice. You could have all of the fancy things, but if you don't know how to use them, it's worth that much. Adarab, it's much worse than that, because you end up killing people. Like Rabbi Nachman himself says, we'll learn that later on. Kain inine ha-mitzvahs, right? He says, right. In my mitzvahs v'hanyanim, I think it should say hanyanim, ha-moinim b'shaveh. He says, Mamish, from the outside, you look at two people, it looks the same. But the people that are Mamish doing it right, the eating that we're talking about, how that could be a greater avoida than the Torah of the Tzaddik, the Talis of the Tzaddik, the Tefillin of the Tzaddik, the Shabbos candles of the Tzaddikas, all the different elements that you would think are overtly spiritual. That's not what Rabbi Nachman uses as his mashal to say why Parnassa is so powerful. You know why? Because it gives him a good meal. And the good meal brings him to the highest level. A good meal? What do you mean? I also eat good meals. No. But the difference between my eating and the tzaddik's eating is the difference between shemayim v'aretz. Achatoivim kolin yanam avoida shlema. V'mpnei akavana hashlema behem. Because the ikur is not how much Torah, how much work. It's all the kavana. And you got to have a person who learns a great deal more than a tzaddik emes. But it's not. Because the kavana is not there. And that's why you mamish never know, because you can't tell by the six sons oriented aspects in LPI language, right, of Yiddishkeit. The princess, that's where it's at. And that you can never know one person to the next. What do we know? Your mamish can't know. Your mamish can't know. And that's why have we done as kol adam l'kav zchus. Every person that you see, even though on the outside it doesn't look like they're most spiritually oriented. Of course, the ikr is that we should mamish be on fire. That's what we're trying to get to. But your mamish never know. We never know. Gamkin, Kishaivdim as Hashem Ainavadasim Shlema. And he says, by the same token, you could have a person who is serving Hashem, and he has all the fancy medicines, and he has all the right svarim, and he has all the starim, and all the, you know, the right trappings of what it should be at tzaddik, but the kavana keys, but he says not avoidasim shlema ki akavana he ikar b'mitzvahs. The main thing, mamish, the main thing is the kavana. Okay, so we're not going to read the next piece inside, and we're going to finish here, and we'll pick up Ezer Hashem with Sichas Ran Chafe next week. But I'll just tell you this piece outside for the next 30 seconds, next minute that we have left. I'll tell you what it says, and it's something that I've said in the past, but it's strong because at mamish you can take this with you. Rabbi Nachman said that there was one shvuas where the tzaddik was sitting down for his Shavuos morning seuda, and they brought him a meal, and he was sitting there with a sefer. And when he finished the first course, he pushed aside the plate, the tray, and he opened the sefer, and he was learning. And then they brought him another course. Okay, he set aside the sefer, he ate it, and he pushed the tray away, opened the sefer, and he was eating. And this happened again and again and again. Every time he finished eating, he opened the sefer. They brought him another course. He opened the sefer. They brought him another course. And this went on and on and on for a couple of times. And finally, Rabbi Nachman banged on the table, and he said, Chevra, he said, we're having a machlekes. He said, I'm having an argument with my chassidim. He said, there are two types of tzaddikim. He says, one kind of tzaddik is a little bit of a lower level tzaddik, and this level tzaddik is more pashit. He eats to have strength so that he could learn. That's a high level. But he said, that's the simple level tzaddik. Rabbi Nachman said, I'm just trying to be simple. I want to go ahead and to eat and then finish the suda with learning so that I can show that my eating is to give me strength to learn. But he says, Gevalt, there's an even higher level tzaddik who learns so that he should know how to eat. That the ikr is the eating. So he says, the chassidim want to be able to say, our Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, he finishes his suda with eating, and his whole learning is just to eat. Rabbi Nachman says, I just want to be pashit. But there is a hasaga like this. This is a good way to remember it, this little mashal, this little anecdote. The ikr is, by tzaddikim, their eating was mashal acher. You could see a person, a tzaddik, who maybe even eats more than a simple person, but gevalt, the kavanas, the yichudim, the hasagas, ein lanu hasaga, we have no hasagas. And to give ourselves chizik in our own lives, our 9 to 5, some of you are at work right now, and are going to go back to work after this, and you take off your lunch break, and it's mamish, it's the biggest Kiddush Hashem, you're changing the world, it's not to be believed. And to realize that it's no less an avoida when you go ahead and you go back to the calculator, you go back to whatever you're doing, whatever your job is, whatever your avoida is, you go back to the computer, no less than about Eben Avoida. The ikr is the kavana. What's the kavana in this avoid? What's the tachlis? Make parnasa. Should be shalom bayis. I should be able to have guests in my house. When a person asks you what you do, one of the chevra we were speaking with, you don't answer with your occupation. I'm a yid. I learn. I daven primarily. Also, yeah, I bring in parnasa a little bit, but that's decidedly secondary. But the ikr is mamish. Who am I? I'm an avod Hashem. And thereby the avoida, the working also becomes mamish avodas Hashem. Any avodah, any working is avodat Hashem. It's all dependent on the kavana. We should be zaycha to be able to live in such a way and to take these ideas with us again to fill ourselves up, eating, drinking garments, mamish, to fill ourselves, satiate the neshama. That's the primary ikr. That's what's going to stay with us. That's what our neshama really needs. And then, like we learned from the Rebbe over here, parnasa to tzaddik emes, very, very important thing. But this nikuda of the eating of tzaddikim based on the idea that the ikar is the kavana, these are life-changing ideas. So ashreinu mamash that we got to learn them together. It's all b'siyata d'shmaya, literally, of all of you who are joining me. So thank you to each and every one of you for taking the time. It really means the world to me, and I wish you the most wonderful rest of the week. Be'ezer Hashem, it should be a fleishig of Tisha B'Av, not just, you know, all the fleishig of the 9 days should carry over into Tisha B'Av itself, and it should be a Tisha B'Av of simcha and dancing on the steps of the third base Hamikdash, all biyachad, b'siyata d'shmaya. Okay, thank you so much for joining, and Ezra Hashem, we'll see you Thursday, hopefully for the Parsha Shir. Thank you, Chevra. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Kultiv. Thank you, Levi. Thank you, Yael. Thank you, Yaakov, Shimon, all the Chevra, Binyamin, Gevalt, we miss you, but thanks for being here. And thanks to everybody for joining. Thank you so much, Meir, L'chaim, Chevra. Thank you.
Thank you.